Review it and let us say these words together. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen. Amen. If you would turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 17, and we are looking at verse number 3. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Amen. We can all read that together. Ready, read. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespassed against thee, amen. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Amen. Amen. So this morning we are talking about a place for forgiveness. Amen. A place for forgiveness. Can you say that with me? Amen. Say it again. Amen. A place for forgiveness is what we are talking about. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As we consider a place for forgiveness. Amen. And we have often heard that, we've often heard it said that there is no place like home. Amen. We know that home is a unique place. Home is a special place. Home is an essential place. We need homes. Amen. And out of all the places we go to, we know that there's no place, no matter how good it is, it seems that we find, you end up saying that there's just no place like home. What makes home so good is that it is a place where there are folk. Amen. Amen. It is a place where there is family. Amen. Because stuff don't make home home. It is the people in the home. These are folk. They are people. They, even more so, more specifically, they are family. These are the ones we are related to. This is a family. But it is not only about folk and the fact that they are family, but it is because it is a place of forgiveness. Because it is family, we know that there is an unconditional love that exists. And while others may write us off, no matter what happens, I know that it doesn't matter because they love me at home. And no matter what I did, how I look, how I failed, it does not matter. As long as there is a place called home, I know that I can have and experience
that is abnormal to a place that is not like home. So the aim of our sermon is for us not to be a dysfunctional body, for us not to be a dysfunctional Christian. I need to be able to function. And in order to function, I'm going to have to embrace this. I know that I'm going to have to embrace this idea of there being a place for forgiveness, because I need it. It is necessary. It is essential for me to have a place like home. But I've got to make a place. When I think about furniture, I realize that I can need new furniture, and I can buy new furniture, and I can bring in new furniture, but unless there's a place to sit it, amen, the movers are coming, and they are going to bring the new furniture, but they got to be able to sit it down somewhere. They need a place. Amen. They need some space. They need somewhere to put it. Otherwise, that which is needed would never be able to be received. Simply because there is no place. If there is no place, if there is not a place, then I can never receive what I need. And what I need needs a place. When I think about not only furniture, but fun, there has to be a place in life for fun. Right, right. All work and no play makes Jack and Jill both dull persons. I need fun in life. I need some of it. I need that inner jogging of laughter to keep me going through the hard times. I got to be able to let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back. I need to keep my joy, keep my happiness, keep smiling. Amen. But there has to be a place created for that to happen, before that can happen. It does not just happen. You got to let it happen. You got to make it happen. You got to create a place. It got to be a place for forgiveness. We need it. We cannot live without it. There must be, got to be a place. And in life, there's got to be a place for faith. You got to be able, in order to keep going, you gotta have something in your life called faith. When life, amen, when you need something beyond your human ability, you need to have a supernatural power on your side, supernatural assistance to help you be able to go through, amen, the things that you can't do nothing about. So you won't go crazy. Amen. You got to have You got to have something that you keep on believing in. That if I don't have nothing else, I can hold on to my faith. I can. My faith. Amen. If there's no faith, then I can't keep moving. That's what faith does. Faith keeps you moving. Amen. If you're not, you give up and quit and sit down on the side of the road. But faith keeps you putting one step in front of another. Faith gives me hope. Faith, amen, it keeps me breathing. Faith keeps my head up. Amen. Although all of my circumstances and surroundings say you can't move any further, but we walk by faith. We got to have it. And those are just some things that we got to have in life. And obviously, forgiveness this morning is, amen, the highlight of the day is that forgiveness, and that's what was needed here according to Jesus as he talked to these disciples in verse 1. He had been talking to the Pharisees about money and materialism and about the importance of being a good steward. And he moved on to that, and he talked to them, amen, about these. Now he's talking about these little ones. Amen. The idea that the importance of the world that we live in to help us to understand the condition of it. Amen. The condition of the world in which we live is a world that has been damaged by sin. We live in a world that has been cursed by sin. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you don't live in a perfect world. Amen. Amen. You don't. You really don't. I don't know if you noticed it, but you do not live in a perfect world. And since sin is in the world, it is impossible for something not to go wrong. Something is going to go wrong. Somebody is going to go wrong. Whether it is things or people, something will go wrong, whether it's a person, place, or a thing. The place, the weather, we can't do nothing about the snow. We can't do nothing about the hail. We can't do nothing about the lightning. We can't do nothing about the thunder. Amen. Things that are out of our control. And we live in a world of sin and sinners. And because of that, it is impossible for something not to go wrong. Amen. Things will go wrong. Expect it. Look for it. It's going to happen. Things are going to go wrong. Amen. Amen. People are going to let you down. People are going to hurt your feelings. Amen. These things are things that is a part of a sin cursed society, and there's nothing you can do to change it, but there is something you can do about it. You can learn to do what Jesus is saying. You can do what Jesus tells us here. He says it is impossible if you think you're going to live in a world where you're not going to get offended. In verse 1, it is impossible but that offenses not might come, but will come. Offenses are going to come. Somebody going to make you mad. Somebody going to disappoint you. Somebody going to let you down. Somebody going to hurt your feelings. Amen. It's. Have you been expecting it, or have you been living like, ain't nothing going to happen wrong that ain't supposed to happen? Especially if I'm in church, ain't nothing, I know ain't nothing going to happen wrong in there because they saved. And you just, you know, going down your little road and, oh, you know, nothing's ever going to go wrong. The fact of the matter is that this is the reality. Jesus said, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. And I'm going to tell you how it is. Amen. They're going to come. Now, woe unto the one that let them come. Evil is in the world and at work. Christians ought to know better. But then, on the other hand, we're sinners too. But he says, woe. And that means something bad's going to happen. Amen. That means that's something, the future don't look bright. Woe. Amen. Woe. Woe. Can everybody shout woe? Amen. Whoa. Amen. Woe unto him. Now, this could be talking about the prophets or it could be talking about the people. Bad prophets, false prophets that'll offend people's faith and make them stay out of the church and damage their faith. When you start talking about offenses, it can relate, or it can just be somebody that's a stumbling block. Somebody just caused you to stumble in your faith, and you're not able to keep walking, and things happen, and it make you want to leave the Lord. Amen. People can make you, amen, cause you to stumble. Jesus said, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it if some of my people are caused to stumble. One of these little ones. Whether it is talking about a little child or whether it is talking about a young Christian who is in a childlike faith. Amen. Anybody that stumbles, God doesn't like it when you make folks stumble. Amen. People trying to believe the Lord, and they run up on some Christian that's acting a fool or gone crazy. I don't know if I can say that, but and they throw your whole faith off. It's kind of like, I don't want to go back to church no more. I'm through with it. Jesus said, that makes me real mad. Don't you make nobody stumble. Don't make my little people who believe in me stumble. You make sure that you don't do anything to trip nobody up. Amen. That's what it means to cause a snare. It can be to cause a scandal. It can be cause a scandalon. It can be cause to trap someone. It's to become a stumbling block. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. I don't want nobody. Say, heaven is my goal. Have you ever heard it? And he said, I don't want nobody stumbling over me. If you're going to stumble, I don't want to be your stumbling block. I don't want to trip you up. Amen. I don't want you to look at me and say, church, no, thank you. Jesus, no, thank you. Why? Because I know somebody who claimed to follow him. And if they're in heaven, I don't even want to go. Amen. They're just not a heaven I want to go to because I haven't seen the representative over here. Jesus said that confused so many people. When you cause folk to stumble, you better make sure that you're responsible with your faith. But the fact of the matter is, he says, I don't like it, didn't he? He says, better for them to get a millstone, that grinding stone that they used to crush grain when they ate it. Amen. A big, huge stone with a stick in it that the animals used to pull around and around to crush grain for their food. They just tie it around their neck and throw them in the sea. Amen. And you know they're going to drown. He said they're better off dead. Matthew 18:6. It's better to take a millstone around your neck and just go jump in the sea, and it's going to pull you all the way under, and you're going to drown. Jesus has some stern words for folk who make people stumble in their faith. Amen. He said, but don't worry about it. They're going to have to answer to me. Because what I'm going to do for them is going to be really bad. Amen. Amen. To cause people to stumble in their faith. He says, it's better for them. It's better for them to drown. Then he said in verse 2, it were better for him. It's better for them to be thrown in the sea and drowned than to mess with one of my little folk believing me. And then he gets to the sermon and he says, Amen. I didn't get to study this right, so I mean, the thing is, when you, amen. The thing is that he says that you better be careful because, amen, I don't want people stumbling around in my church. Amen. I don't want them stumbling. Amen. I don't want them stumbling. So what he does is he shared with us here the rebuke, and we look at the repentance, and we look at the restoration. He says, but before he does that, he said, take heed to yourself. Make sure you ain't causing nobody to stumble. Make sure you ain't causing nobody to stumble. And notice what he says. Now, he's talking about saved folk. He's talking about folk that are in the body of Christ. He says that if thy brother trespass against thee, he's talking about a saved person. Amen. This is how we should work as Christians. Amen. If they trespass, and you know a trespass is intentional. If you study Leviticus, you know that, the difference between sin is types of sin. One is a trespass and one is you can sin through ignorance and you can sin through intentional. You can sin on purpose. Amen. Amen. You can sin on purpose. You can do something you know you ain't supposed to do. And some folks sin and they don't know they did it. You know, they was unaware of it. You know, they didn't know it. But then you can, there is ignorance in sin and there is intentional sinning. And that's a trespass. That's intentional. You trespassed on my property. You saw the sign up. No trespassing. And Jesus tells us that when you pray, forgive us of our trespasses, our intentional sins. Because if you didn't sin and you didn't know it, that's I can deal with that a little bit better. But when you know better, you ought to do better. When someone sins, when a believer sins, that if thy brother trespass against thee, he knew he was wrong, rebuke him. Amen. That means rebuke him. That means correct him. Amen. 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 You are, be responsible and correct them. Amen. Confront them and correct them about it. Okay, you did me wrong. Don't let it just build up. But I want you to correct the problem as you go. You see, life is give and take. As you go along, you got to be doing that. You got to be correcting, and you got to be repenting. You got to be rebuking, and you got to be, amen, repenting. And that way you can be receive restoration. And he says that if he were to sin against thee, then it's your job to correct him, because that means that there is a problem. Amen. 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 And today, I don't know. You may not be correctable. Some folk are not. Some folk are not correctable. But Jesus says here, he says, when your brother do you wrong, rebuke him. And you let him know that you did me wrong. And Jesus says that it is your responsibility, because we know we live in a world where there is going to be somebody going to make you mad. And so when that happens, then you need to, biblically, you need to rebuke him. And amen, straighten him out. Amen. And if he repents, forgive him. Amen, amen. If he repents, it's conditional. Amen. Most people think that dealing with God that, you know, we just all go to heaven anyhow. You know, we just think that we all go to heaven anyhow, no matter what. My sin and all just going to heaven. I ain't no repentance. That mean I ain't stopped doing nothing. I just started going to church. I just added church to my schedule. But ain't nothing changed. I still go to the club. I still drink that. I still talk like this. I still. Ain't no been no repentance. It's a foreign word, repentance. None of that. Just receive me, Lord, just like I am, and just that I ain't Nothing been fixed. Just take me. I ain't going on, getting rid of nothing. I'm keeping everything. Amen. 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 We just think, but the truth of the matter is, it didn't just say God does not just receive us. We can't go to heaven without repenting. You say, well, God is a God of love. You still ain't got to repent. He's a God of love, but in order for you to get the love, amen, you have got to repent. And that's what's so important is we need to realize that. Jesus didn't just say, everybody, I love the world, y'all all come to heaven. He said, no, you tell them about the gospel. If they believe it and they repent, and they're going to live with me as their Lord, not Satan, not themselves, then they can come on in. But, amen, they need to confess their sins, and they need to repent of those sins, and then they can be restored. Amen. You confess your sins, and, amen, people even go as far as confessing that, yeah, I am a sinner, and I need Jesus, and Jesus loves everybody, let me in. No, you skip second base, amen. Confession is first base. Repentance is second base. Amen. Restoration is third base. And then you come on home. Amen. But some folk want to skip second base. And they ran all the way around and they're out. The fact of the matter is, we need to let it forget. But repentance is an important. And people like that now. Amen. They say, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive me. Did you stop doing it? No. They did it again. And they kept doing it, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it. And they want to know what's wrong with you. Why can't you accept me? You're a Christian. Where's the love? Yeah, love is there, but you got to be worthy. You got to create a place for the forgiveness. Amen. Yeah, Christians, we are to forgive everybody, and everybody needs to be forgiven, but you got to create the place. You didn't move the couch out the way. I want to forgive you, but you left this. You didn't move the stuff out the way. Forgive him if he repents. There's a whole lot of folk now, they never repented, and they're wondering, why is this still going wrong? Why am I still having trouble? Why can't I get this fixed? Why can't I? And when the truth of the matter is, you ain't proven to be worthy of forgiveness. You've not genuinely repented. There's a lot of folk mad at each other right now. They ain't never repented. They say, well, we Christian, we got to all love each other. You need to repent.